offering a cutting board, but they're hard on the outside. Are you going to come up?
Like, come
on
up.
I don't have enough for everybody in the condo.
Oh, shoot, I was going to come up there, too.
So, the Tootsie Pop, it's really hard on the outside, but when you get to the middle, usually it's kind of chewy and yummy and good. These are like one of my favorite ones to have. I don't know about you guys. So in the Bible, there's a verse in Ezekiel that I want to read to you. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." So meaning flesh means soft. So the outer is the hard wall and inside is the soft. So God promises a new heart, a soft heart, but sometimes our hearts get hard. What are some ways our hearts could get hard?
Don't think thank you. Like, we only think about ourselves.
Only thinking about yourself? Yeah. Maybe doing a sin over and over again that you know is not right. Sometimes that hardens us, hardens people. But no matter how hard our heart is, God can soften them. So this Tootsie Pop, just remember as you go through, you eat the hard part and you get into the soft and sweet part, God will soften your heart. That's my prayer. Thank you, God, for these kids and adults here today. Please watch over them and keep them safe this week and always know, let them know that they are loved. Amen. And so we're going to have
But that was the commercial. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Three.
Three. Depends on how hard you lick. All right. We have been in the book of Colossians, not the last 2 weeks. I understand you were in the Old Testament with Mephibosheth. Isn't that a great name? Mephibosheth. You can only say it once or twice, and then it kind of leaves your head, and you can't say it again. We are going to be in the book of Colossians again today. We started there a month or so ago, and we're going to stay in here until we get to the end of it. We are in Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 16 today. And so far, Paul has taken the first chapter and a half into the second chapter to remind the Christians in Colossae of Christ's supremacy, that Christ is all you need for salvation. There's nothing else needed. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that's it. There's no more boxes to tick. And the believers in Colossae have been struggling to cling to that belief because outsiders have come into the church and said, that's good, Christ is good, but, and then there's a comma, right? And whenever you put the word but in a sentence, if you're not careful, it negates everything you said before. Oh, that shirt looks cute, but. Did anybody hear that my shirt looks cute? They're not going to hear that. They hear what comes next. Christ is all you need, but that goes away. And what's left is what people were making, which were rules. You need to be circumcised was one. You need to not eat those certain things. Holy people do it this way. And suddenly there were starting to be more and more rules. And Paul writes to them to say, we're not going back to rules. Don't board that bus. We're moving to freedom. And he's kind of been almost vehement in his insistence that Jesus alone is all you need. And while they've grasped that concept, what you're left with sometimes is theory is good. Now, how do I live that out? You ever gone to a conference or a seminar and they give you all kinds of information, how to be a better employee at work? And you take a lot of notes, you know, and then you get home and you're like, okay, now I wrote all that down in theory, I get it. Now, how am I going to live that out? I used to say to Brian, we still say this now. I would say, I love you. He'd say, oh, you love the idea of me. And I said, well, the idea can be easier to love sometimes. And then we both laugh. Because sometimes the idea of something is easier to grasp than actually living it out. And so Paul's going to move from the premise that Christ is all you need, and he's going to move you into, then what does that look like in our lives? And that's the train that we're on. We're going to start Colossians 2. If you're there, we're in verse 16. Paul says, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, or new moon ceremonies, or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality." In other words, you can make rules that make you feel holy, but Christ is what makes us holy. That's what we're living for. "Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and the body grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate even as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering evil desires. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." Think about the things of heaven, not of earth. Paul wants to move the believers, and the church is probably mixed. You have Jewish people who have been spread abroad. So you've got Jewish Christians in the church, and you have Gentile Christians in the church. And the Jewish ones have come from 1,000 years of rules and law, and that's what makes them feel comfortable. And he's going to move them from the law that they grew up with into relationship with God. We're going to move from the Ten Commandments to the New Testament, where he says the law can be summed up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Because the whole Ten Commandments are just these two things. Every commandment there is either about loving God or loving your neighbors as yourself. We're going to get away from one, and we're going to move to the other. The Jewish, remember, they had 600 rabbinical laws that they tried to follow to make them more holy. And remember, Christ gets up there in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery." That's the law. "But I say unto you, if you even look at another person with lust in your heart, you're breaking the law." You're breaking what God's asked you to do. Because it's about the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. We're going to move from legalism to freedom in Christ. The focus is on the heart. It's on the heart. Rules don't conquer behavior. Have you noticed that? Look around you in our world today. We have made a lot of laws in this country. Are they making people better people? Do they keep people from doing wrong things? They do not. Rules, good people will follow rules because they would have followed them whether they were rule or not. You can't legislate morality. Have you heard that saying before? Wouldn't it be easier if we could? But we can't. What we have to do is to engage the heart. So what are going to be the guiding factors then as I live out my Christian life? As I walk the Christian walk, what's going to guide me? And Paul's going to start unpacking the idea of balance. I'm going to use the word balance because balance is what we find when we let the Holy Spirit lead our lives. Our goal is life in Christ. It's harmony with him and with each other, right? Love God, love others. And if we're not careful, it's easier to fall into the trap of thinking rules make things better. Rules make things easier. They can make us actually feel more safe, don't they? And then it's easy then to slide from that to, I like rules, they make me feel safe. to the more I follow the rules, the more God loves me. So the more I follow more rules, the more God loves me. And the truth is, that's not the case. The truth is, following the rules doesn't equal more of God's love. A lot of religions that we have around us today focus on human laws. If you're a Muslim and you're a woman, you're going to wear the scarf because that's what makes you holy. You're going to get that prayer rug out 5 times a day because that's what makes you holy. If you're Mormon, you might have to wear certain clothes. There's all kinds of rules that churches can make that seem, Paul says, they seem wise because they require me to be more devoted, to try and be more pious, to discipline my body even more. And Paul says, you can discipline the body all you want. It doesn't capture the heart. And we did this with our kids. We've talked about this before. Had enough. You sit down. Oh, you may get them sitting down on the outside, but what are they doing on the inside, you know? You know, standing there like that. Another thing that happens with rules, the second thing that can happen, is then if they're rules for me, then I can start judging how you're doing on the rules, right? God doesn't ask you to become a suicide bomber to prove your devotion to him. On the other hand, he doesn't let me go around making rules to prove your devotion for him. We're going to talk about the heart, Paul says. I don't get to judge your lack of devotion. And I'm going to put quotations around that. Your lack of devotion because you don't do things the way that I do. Because God wired us all differently. We're unique. And we don't need to wear certain clothes or eat certain foods on certain days or stay at home on the Sabbath and not move in order to prove that we belong to God. We're balancing freedom and benefit for the community. Paul's saying, he's going to start saying, you have freedom in Christ. You have freedom to do these things. But we're going to balance them. And I'm going to use the example, one from my childhood. I grew up in a church where the rule was Christians don't drink alcohol. Good Christians. Holy Christians don't drink alcohol, right? Do you want to be in category one? Do you want to be at the top? Because the good Christians on tier one, they're not touching alcohol. The rest of them, you know, down there you go. Hey, newsflash. The Bible doesn't say anything about not drinking. Paul says, don't be drunk. If you're going to be drunk with something, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say anything about drinking. If you're going to be an elder, don't be a lover of much wine. In other words, don't be a drunkard. But I grew up with, that was the rule. And holy people did that, followed that rule. And then we slide into judging. Well, if they're not meeting that rule, they're not as holy as they could be. And then I get on my little pious soapbox and, you know, feel better about myself, right? And Paul says we're going to balance. We're going to have freedom, but I don't get to use that freedom to hurt other people. Have you met spouses where one's an alcoholic and one isn't? And the second one won't quit drinking but keeps bringing alcohol into the house? Is that beneficial for relationship? Maybe to be in relationship, sometimes even though we have the freedom to do something, we have to say no to it. Does that make sense? Freedom is not a license to go out and do whatever I want. I have the freedom to drink alcohol as a Christian. God doesn't say anything about that. But I don't have the freedom to cause you to stumble. I'm going to live in community. So the decisions that I make are going to be based on living in community with my freedom. We're going to use God's truth, the Holy Spirit, to find that balance. If I use just my truth and I'm not grounded here, I can end up in all kinds of places. That's how we've ended up in all kinds of places. Paul writes to them, even people who say I've had a vision from an angel, don't listen to them, only this truth we've given you already. Angels are messengers of God. They bring a message from God, nothing more, nothing less. But this is what we stand on and nothing else. Because the Holy Spirit is going to guide us always. And so while I am going to learn and study truth, I'm going to make sure it's here. That's going to be the balancing part. Sometimes freedom becomes I do what feels right to me. Oh, tell me where that's gotten us as a society, would you? Does everybody get to define what truth is for you? Then there's no truth, is there? What's the balance? I don't go around pushing truth on everybody, do I? I want to live in community and love. But this is going to have my heart. He is going to have my heart. And the more he has my heart, the more he has my behavior. The other problem with rules, Paul says, is we start focusing on the don'ts. You ever done that? It's easier to remember the don'ts than it is to remember the do's sometimes, isn't it? The don'ts kind of take over. It's hard to break a bad habit when all you do is tell yourself, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. It's easier to break a habit when you say, instead I'm going to fill in the blank, right? We break an old habit by putting something different in its place. I'm not going to focus on the don'ts, thou shalt not. I'm going to focus on relationship. My dad took care of my mom, chose to take care of my mom following her stroke. Took her about a year in recovery and rehab home before she was able to come home. And he chose to care for her at home for the next 3 to 4 years, 3.5 years of my mother's life. It was a hard, thankless job. And my stepmother that you've met, Helen, helped my dad care for her. My dad cared for my mom so well. My dad is a list maker. I'm sure you might have noticed that. He didn't miss anything, hardly ever, in taking care of her. But my dad did not take care of my mom because he knew there was a list of rules he had to follow. My dad took care of my mom, set his alarm for 1 o'clock every morning and got her up and onto the commode so that she would stay dry in the night because she couldn't get herself up anymore. 1 o'clock, my dad didn't get one full night of sleep for 4 years. There's no rule that said he had to do that. Why did he want to do that? Because he was in relationship with my mom. And the more I'm in relationship, the more I want to love you and please you. And that's what Paul wants. Those rules aren't going to help you be a better Christian. Your heart, connected to his heart, is what's going to do it for you. Rules can be simpler, they can be easier, and they feel better because you can check the box and move on, right? Relationships are trickier, are they not? If all I had to do was this one thing, ding, done, moving on. Relationships sometimes means I have to ask a few more questions. I have to own stuff. I have to sort something out. Oh, here we go again. Do you ever do that inside? You know. All right, let's try this one more time. Relationships take a bit more work sometimes. Black and white thinking, rules, doesn't often help us. There's a lot of gray. It's called grace in God's kingdom. In fact, just as often, rules inhibit relationships. Have you noticed that? Because I don't know about you, but I struggle with my memory. I have since I was young. I've lost more lunchboxes, I've lost more sweaters, I've lost more jackets. My mother despaired of me. Patty, how can you forget that? I don't know. I just do. It's a wrestle for me. And so when I have a list to do, if our relationship is based on me ticking everything on that list, I have to tell you that I will spend 90% of my relationship with you worrying about what I might have missed. Because I always miss something. Brian says, I leave the door. Do you have your phone? Yes. Do you have your keys? Yeah. Because I'll go out and forget them my whole life. So rules don't help relationship. Rules can inhibit relationship. Now, there are guidelines, no doubt. There are guidelines in every relationship. But they're based, if they're healthy, out of I want to love and respect and honor you. And if I've agreed to be in relationship with you, if you've agreed to be in relationship with me, then we have an understanding that says, I'm going to seek to put you first. I'm going to seek to honor you. And then when you say to me, when you do that, that hurts me. When God says, when you exhibit these behaviors, they're hurtful, then we listen to that, don't we? Shouldn't we? But that's a heart thing. And then I can wonder, because I take my human relationships and rules, and if I'm not careful, I transfer them to God. Ooh, they were really upset with me when I forgot that. How's God going to feel if I forget something? Or, let alone, I deliberately go, you know, I'm just not going to do that today. What am I left with? Wondering and worrying if my relationship is solid, and that doesn't build relationship. Worry can tear it down. You ever had a child or maybe an employee that was working on a project with you or for you, and they so want to do it right? And you get to the end and, oop, we forgot, we missed something. How do we respond? If it's rules and rules are all that matter, then there's no grace. What you want is someone who says, ah, you missed that thing. Well, we'll get it next time. Hopefully the wheels don't come off the car because you forgot something important. But the goal is that we're building relationship. Because when we're building it, hope and joy and love flourish. When you have to keep a list of rules, Paul says, first of all, it doesn't change your behavior necessarily. And secondly, it doesn't build relationship. How do we build relationship? How do we keep our focus then and our balance where it needs to be? Paul concludes this little bit of thought by saying, since you've been raised to new life with Christ. He already talked about that. Remember, when you're baptized and raised, you're saying goodbye to the old life. You're buried with Christ. He said the old goes away and we're raised to new life. Right? Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven and not on the things of this earth. Where is my focus? If I'm focused on just me, or just what I want, or just what's happening here, then I can lose the eternal perspective. Do you ever ask yourself that question? Someone's let you down. Someone's really ticked you off. Let's go farther. You know. And you ask yourself that question. Will this matter in a year? Will this matter in 6 months? If I let this go, will this matter? Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes then I have to, you know, be brave and say, actually, not. But the majority of times, if my perspective is up and not on me, a lot of that we can let go. Paul's going to go on and say, make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive each other. Move on. Don't carry that. Because we're not going to be focused on rules. We're going to be focused on relationship. The balance we seek is between you must get that prayer rug out and get out on it 5 times a day and face the east when you do so. That's one side of the pendulum, right? And the complete other side is God doesn't say I have to pray, so I'm never going to. Right? Well, he didn't say thou shalt pray. It's not one of the Ten Commandments, right? So the balance then is if I'm going to be in relationship, then prayer is communication. Prayer is just me talking to God, and the way I do it, and the way you do it, and the way you do it is completely different because God's wired us differently. I know a lady who likes to get up at 5 a.m. every morning, and that's her quiet time. Get me up at 5 a.m., I'm going to fall right asleep in the chair you put me in. That's a no-go. I am not a 5 a.m. let's get up and pray kind of person. I'm not wired that way. So if you start making rules for me that holy people get up and do their devotions first thing in the morning, I'm doomed. Because I don't function as well at 5 a.m. as you do. And the good news is God didn't give us rules about that. What God does is invite us into relationship. And I want to get to know my Creator. And I do that by prayer. It's communication. And mine happens, just so you know, all through the day. And yours can too. Because God never hangs up the phone. There are no rules. We're going to step away from rules in that sense. But what we're going to step into then is relationship. And relationship honors. Relationship has respect. Relationship has my heart. And my actions will follow my heart. I'm going to set my mind on Christ. I'm going to set him on what I want to do, not on what I don't want to do. I'm going to see where he leads me. Because I want to be in relationship. Lord, thank you that you give us relationship and not rules. Thank you that you love us whether we meet the checklist all the time or whether we don't. that that's not what it's about. Lord, we want to be people who are following after your heart with our hearts. Will you give us joy as we do that? Will you give us wisdom as we seek to do the right things? Will you give us discernment to know when to step left and when to step right and how to love better? Because that's what we want to do, Lord. Love you and those around us better and better. It's in your Son's name we get to pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Would you be standing, please? May you find joy in your relationship with your Father, your Heavenly Father, this week as you seek relationship with Him. Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.